Okay, Romans chapter 14, verse 14. And we'll try to go to verse 18, but you never know. Well, let's go ahead. We'll open up with the word of prayer. And that's always a great way to start whenever you read the word of God.
Amen.
Because God himself talks to you through the book and through his spirit. And you talk to him through the spirit and through the book. It's a two-way there. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne. And we thank you for the blood, Lord, the blood that cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
And we just thank you, Lord, for intervening in the sinful world and making your presence known. And we just ask your choice blessings upon your word today, wherever the true word of God is taught and preached. And may it bear fruit for your glory, your coming. We just pray, Lord, right now you open up our understanding, open up our hearts as we feed on your word. And Lord, we ask you to open up your heart and speak to us. And Lord, you have the same will for each of us, and that's to conform to the image of Christ. But your plan for each of us is different. And may we be an encouragement one to another as we walk this journey. Be merciful to us this day in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Okay, well, let's go ahead and read verses 14 to 18. I'll let you guys read the even verses, and I'll read the odd verses. Okay, let's start with verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he
that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men.
Okay, let's start with verse 14. As we start with verse 14, as Paul is talking, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. All right, he says right away he's in communion with the Lord. And he's telling me that he has knowledge. He says, I know. And I'm persuaded by the Lord. And here's what he's persuaded about. That there is nothing unclean of itself. Nothing. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. When we go into verse 14, he tells us what this clean and unclean stuff is. In verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, with thy meat. It's talking about eating food. The Word of God, there's three different ways of looking at the word meat. But in this context, it has to deal with food. If we was to go into John chapter 4:31 there, called food. But in verses 32 to 34, meat is called the will of God. All right? Food. We consume it. The Word of God here is also called meat. We're feeding ourselves with the Word of God.
Amen.
So Christ says, my meat, what I'm feeding on is to do the will of God. And then we also have in, in Hebrews 13:9, the word meat is described as diverse and strange doctrines. Strange things is also called meat. What you and I would call the more interesting stuff, but stuff that's not really profitable. Okay, we could talk about UFOs. Fascinating. But you know what? UFOs is not going to help you and me grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. It's not going to help us have a better relationship one another, whether we believe in UFOs or not UFOs. We could discuss mythology. Mythology is fun to read and to check out. But guys, talking about mythology, whether it's real or not real, or how it affects the history, doesn't help us grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. And some people have fights and arguments. I guess one of the favorite ones for Pastor Miller would be the reptilians. That is definitely strange and diverse different doctrine, okay? Of course, I always pause in the Old Testament when I come across the group of men that are lion-like. So I don't know if they had their hair that way. I don't know if they altered their lips, you know, to look like lion-like men. But whether they did or not, it doesn't help us grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. And we have to keep in context as we study this, going back to Romans 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. All right. We're talking here about helping the younger and the weaker to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So we go into 14 about what's clean and what's unclean. You know, if you're in France, eating snails is clean. Okay? Amen. Guys, I don't eat snails.
Amen.
I don't even put them on our plate. I will confess, we had some Chinese friend that took us to a restaurant one time. I don't remember if I tried the little octopuses.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't think I did. Because I keep thinking of 20,000 legs under the sea, you know, and those scaly things like that. Okay?
But, had sushi.
But for the Chinese, that is considered clean. Now, for me, it's not clean.
Give yours to Tracy. She likes
them. Tracy likes them? Oh, that's fine.
It probably made her
I
bless
it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, but we're talking about the weak brethren here. And it says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat. And I suspect that Paul again is talking about the meat offerings they had to the idols. And that's what he's making a reference to. And, you know, as Baptists, we like a good bargain on meat. And so
there might have been some converts who still held to kosher.
Kosher.
Should meat and bacon.
Yes, that would be true too. If Paul was in an area where a whole bunch of weak Jewish converts were, and here's Paul having a bacon with his eggs, that would have been very offensive to the Jews.
To do it, eat it at home in private.
Yeah, and at home in private, oh, absolutely. But if he was there, you know, eating bacon from, what's going to happen is the other person's going to, they're going to react to him, and it could kill the faith in Christ. It could kill it there, because the verse says in here, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, which could be bacon, could be pork, could, you know, be meat that's offered to idols, and we know that idols are nothing, because there's only one God. But a new convert may not understand that. He says, now walkest thou not charitably. Charitably is the same word. We get the word walking in love. Okay? And it says here, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Young disciples don't have the knowledge that we have. They really don't. And so you have to be patient with them. There's seven stages of spiritual growth. All right? And I have to call this food for thought, but when you study through the scripture, who's got 1 Corinthians 3:1? Let's take a look. That is the first stage.
I can do that one.
Every Christian you meet is at a various stage of where they're growing at in the Lord. And a lot of them just never advance beyond this first stage. Who's got 1 Corinthians 3:1? 3:1. Jenny?
Huh?
Go ahead.
And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ.
Okay. When a person gets born again, they're considered a baby Christ. They're like a baby. And if you've ever been around babies, you have to bottle feed them. All right? Their diapers have to be changed. You have to change their clothes for them. You have to bathe them. A baby is helpless. They just don't have all that knowledge of, that you do as an adult. And we have to think that way when we're dealing with someone who's weak in the faith. They don't have the knowledge. There's a certain person that we've been trying to reach. I know I have. But his background is Roman Catholicism. And so if you say anything against the Pope, if you say anything against the Lord's Supper, the way they do it, why the arrows go off, and they look at you as, well, you're now judging. All right? You're now judging. And when you do that, they cut their spirit off, and they don't go any further. We have to learn how to go around the obstacles to bring them to a point of full maturity in Christ. Who's got 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. There's three stages in there.
Okay. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father.
Yes. There's three stages of growth found in those right there that John is writing to. He's not writing to babes, he's writing to little children. When the babe starts growing up, they become like toddlers.
Like All right? Ezra.
Huh?
Like Ezra.
Like Ezra. He's a toddler. And guys, I will never forget when Johnny was a two-year-old toddler. We came home from church one night, or one afternoon. Jill and I were just dog tired. And we conked out on the bed for at least 15, 20 minutes. And in that 15, 20 minutes, Johnny as a toddler grabbed a blue magic marker. And with that blue magic marker, his dresser drawers were blue. All right? He went down the hallway. It became blue. And then when we found him, both his legs were blue. All in 20 minutes. Okay? Toddler. I'll probably not forget that for a long time. When he was just three or four, we had a friend come over called Brown, and he was getting ready to leave. And Johnny hopped into his car and was asking him for the keys. Okay? Now, what four-year-old can drive a car? And I'm sure there's a couple of stories out there, all right, where some kid got a hold of the keys, put it in, and the car went somewhere. All right? At this point, they're little children. Little children then start growing up and become young men. They're like teenagers. And if you've ever been around teenagers, they think they know everything. All right? And sometimes when you inject a little bit of Word of God into people, they think they have the corner on the market. They read that book, understand the Bible in 30 days. They got it down to write down. And you know you have to continue to work with them to bring them up. The other stage here is fathers. A person who's reached the father stage, what a father does, he disciples and he trains his children, he trains his family. He's got the wisdom now. He's now taking the knowledge and he's passing the knowledge on. Another stage, who's got Hebrews 5:14? Okay, Johnny.
Hebrews 5:14?
Yep, Hebrews 5:14.
Yep. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
How about that? Full age. After you've succeeded in making past the teenage years, you're at the full age. You now can discern between what's right and what's wrong totally. The other four stages, you're still struggling.
John, you know, one of the worst things about this generation is most of the people who get saved, they reach the children age and then they become runaways.
Correct.
And they, you can't do anything because they run and they're, you know, and that's like every church I know, every pastor I know sees that.
Yeah.
Because everybody is so know-it-all and independent and, you know, everybody's, you know, they know everything. And then they'll either be offended by somebody or not like something they're being taught. And they don't go and ask, now, you know, what is this? And sit down and reason with you. They just run away.
Correct. Correct. That, and what's really sad is our society reflects what's going on in the church. And what's going on in the church reflected what's going on in society. And the way the founders set up our nation, guys, was there's supposed to be a balance between the government and the church. All right? And what happened is the church has gone downhill, the government has gone downhill. There's a balance between the two. But that is so true. I one of the stats I heard this week was really heartbreaking. As far as in the 1960s, 75% of the marriages dealing with the black people had fathers in the home. 75%. And what happened? They passed some laws, aid for dependent children, and then at that point it started going downhill, and the men started leaving the homes because the ladies could get money from the government. And accordingly, only 10% of the black homes have dads in the family, according to the stat that I heard. And, yes, Doug.
I was going to mention, I'm not including Pastor Miller on this, but most churches are not even preaching the Word of God. They're just, you know,
oh, correct.
It's just garbage. It's activities and so on and so forth, and they put all these kids in these different activities, and when they get out, they still don't know the Bible.
Right.
And yet, if you're not grounded, founded, and bounded by the Word of God, you're not, you know, willing to do a whim of something at school or college or something like that. Next thing you know, they're off to the races or something else.
Yeah. Well, one of the stats I heard from the 60s is they would train them in the Word of God, and when they got into college 4 years later, they would come out as agnostics. The colleges are far more evil than I had even ever imagined. Something I heard over the weekend is that over 100 of our colleges are getting money funded by China. Okay, and when you get funded money by other groups like that, then you change what you believe. And if you read the book of Proverbs and other places, it tells you that gifts coming in like that will change the heart. It'll change the doctrine and change what you believe. Now, if the Chinese are influencing over 100 of our colleges, be sure they're not picking the little ones. They're picking the top ones. The one stat that blows me away is the Muslims are doing the exact same thing.
Right.
Harvard, which was founded for the purpose of training young men to be preachers of the Word of God. Harvard, guys, the Muslims gave Harvard so much money, they do not have to charge tuition for 400 years. How much money did they get? Now, you know they're still charging tuition at high prices. How much money did they get? Maryland, which is in the Big Ten, the Muslims gave them so much money. Maryland actually has a bus by the college for the purpose of taking the Muslim kids out to the mosque and back, right? Westerville, Ohio, the high school's there. Explain to me how the high schools here in Westerville, Ohio, plus Worthington, have prayer rooms and feet washing rooms for the Muslims. Where's Channel 6 on this one? 6 on your side. Where's Channel 10? Where's Channel 4 at? Hushed right under the rug. God, there's so many things going on with our society, guys, that it just blows me away. The Lord has me working on the Titanic track, and it's taken me into turns I never dreamed of. And it's so appropriate for what's going on in today's society. The love of money is the theme of the track. The love of money is the root of all evil. And The Lord wants me to share with people is how the love of money, the root, how it sank the Titanic, how it funded World War I, how it funded World War II, and what's going on with the rest of our nation, and how we really need to be in prayer in the world that we live in so that our friends and our neighbors and our family come to know the Lord.
I have a scripture that talks about what you were saying in Exodus 23:8, and thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous.
Exactly. Perfect. That is exactly perfect. And there's a whole lot of other ones, but that one speaks the one right, that hits the nail right on the head. It perverts. If you really want to know what's going on in our country, they do it three ways. First of all, they bribe you with money. And if bribing you with money does not work, then they will bully you. And if bullying doesn't work, then they'll blackmail you. Blackmail is the biggest one. Like, for instance, on, forgive me on this one, on COVID, the one guy from Ohio said, let's give $1,400 only to those who will be vaccinated. Guys, that's either blackmail or bribery, the way you look at it.
You got the three B's, bribery, bully, or what?
Yes, three B's. But that is what's going on. Study what's going on. And you'll find one of those three things. How come our congressmen aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing? And one of those three reasons will pop up if you study it. And you won't be in shock. You'll be going, oh, my.
John.
Yeah.
Our Congress are the best politicians money can buy.
Good job.
I fortunately.
I'll put you in the act next week.
Yeah. Well, the title of the track is The Curse of the Titanic. We'll bring you down. All right? And I tell you the real story of the Titanic, what really happened. But it's hitting the mark on the head here. Let's see. The last one I had was Philippians. There's two more. Who's got 1 Peter 5:1? Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Jenny.
All right, 1 Peter 5:1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
Okay. Another stage is called the elder stage. When you get up to the point, in one aspect it's called the aged women or the aged men. When you get up to the older folks, you should be able to train anyone with the Word of God. You should be able to talk to anyone and help them out. But that's, guys, there are so many older folks that I've known that didn't know nothing. Because all they did was go to church and it was just a plaything. And guys, it's not a plaything. Here, we get to know the Lord. Doug.
Yeah, they call it the three S's. They sit, soak, and sour.
Yeah.
Because they don't flow the Word of God out of them.
Totally.
It's like the Dead Sea. That's why the Dead Sea doesn't flow out.
Exactly. And then the last stage is Philippians, or Philemon 9. Philemon 9.
I'll read it. Yet for love's sake I'd rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Paul the aged. This is where you have the cane. Okay, this is where you have the walker. You know you're on your way out at this point. Paul the aged. And every one of us, unless the Lord takes us home early, every one of us will come to the point where we'll be called the aged, the old one. And hopefully at that point we have the wisdom to be able to impart to the younger group to show them that the Christian life is worth living. It is worth following the Lord. It's worth sacrificing everything you have for Him. It is worth knowing him. You can know him. The younger believers have a harder time getting to know the Lord, but you can help them to get to know the Lord. And I keep trying to keep pressing, get to know, spend the time in the book, feed on the book, feed. I found out it doesn't matter if I read it fast or if I read it slow. I'm where I'm supposed to be at the time I'm reading. One of the things I have to share with you as I was working on the Titanic track, I was looking at Webster's, I used Webster's 1828, and so I'm going on the word curse. So I had to understand, what does the word curse really mean? And part of the definition that Webster had was to wish something bad on someone. So doing the track, I took all his definitions and I combined them into one definition. And so I took out the word wish, all right, because it didn't fit what I was going for. The very next day, I'm reading the book of Job, and what do I read? To wish a curse on somebody. Yes, I went back and I rechanged it, so you'll see the word wish in there.
I want to say that it's important to note that, spiritually speaking, Paul was aged.
Yes.
He wasn't actually that old, and that was a hard lesson for me. When I first got saved, I thought old Christians automatically meant wise.
Correct.
One of the first old Christians that I knew tried to get me to speak in tongues.
Right.
And that was the key to spiritual enlightenment, was you got to get the gift.
Yeah.
And then after that, old Christian, it was one extreme to the other. One old Christian tried to get me to believe that you could lose your salvation and every time you sin. You know. Then when I was just coming out of that, another old Christian tried to convince me of Calvinism.
Man. Oh, exactly. Yeah, they're just not, in the book.
That, you know, when I'm reading in the scripture, it doesn't say anything about age as far as number of years. It's always about your spiritual growth.
Right, and that's what we're going for, the spiritual part. The growth in there.
Throw that in there because, like, when it uses the word elder, there are people who are in the 50s, 60s, and 70s who are babes in Christ. And then there's Christians in their 20s
right.
and 30s who are elders in the faith.
Oh, exactly. No, I agree with you on there. I met a Wesleyan pastor, guys. A Wesleyan pastor who did not believe in the physical resurrection of Christ. What in the world is he in the pastorate for? He thought it was a spiritual resurrection. Huh? You can't even read any of John Wesley's books and come up with that conclusion.
No.
It's just not there. Or the Lutheran minister that stood up in one of the conferences back in the 80s and said he did not believe in the virgin birth. Guy, what was he doing being a Lutheran minister?
What books are they reading?
Yeah.
Not this one.
Yeah. If you read Luther's writings, you're not going to come away with that.
Right.
These guys were all nuts. They're not in the book. I remember being a young Christian, and there was a big debate whether Adam was with Eve at the time she partook of the fruit. I pick up the book and it said, and she gave to him with her. Well, Adam was there then. With her. Read the other scripture verse. He was not deceived. Alright? So, what was the debate? Somebody was trying to make money maybe? You know. Guys, get in the book. When you hear controversies going on, get in the book and ask the Lord. You've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, and He will lead you into all truth. He will guide you. If you're looking for it, He will guide you in it. You don't have to ask my opinion. You don't have to ask Pastor Miller's opinion. Get in the book. If you want an opinion, forgive me on this one, but get the Living Bible. Okay? Because in the Living Bible, they translate it a few places in God's opinion.
Wow. God.
Sorry, that's not God's word. God does not have an opinion. Absolutely does not. But what I was trying to share with you, there are stages of spiritual growth, spiritual stages of growth. And what we're talking about here in verse 15, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. That's the big thing. Don't destroy them over some crazy doctrine that is not going to profit anyone. I had a pastor that said he would not play the game corner on the market. Anyone play that one?
Never.
It was a farmer's game.
Oh.
And you pass cards around. Who got the corn? If you got all the corn, you had a corner on the market. Who got all the wheat? Corner on the market. Nothing wrong with the game, guys. Nothing. But he ran into someone that thought it was evil. And so he refused to play the game. All right? Now, he still had the freedom to play the game at his house. But for that one person, he did not want to see them stumble and fall. And that should be our desire here today. We should not want to see any single one of us stumble and fall.
The King James issue is one of those. And, you know, when I first got saved, I didn't know what the issue was or anything. And I came along kind of after a few years, actually, and coming to realize the whole issue. And there's a lot of people who are firm on the King James Bible, but then they expect everybody just to drop to their knees and repent and give up their NIV immediately.
No, it doesn't happen.
And what I'm... Yeah, now, it works every once in a while, but Jenny walked up to a friend of hers and threw her Bible in the garbage can. and then bought her a King James Bible. So, you know, she didn't leave her without anything. But that lady, that was 25 years ago, she still talks about it. But what I've done in the past is I've encouraged people to get a parallel Bible to start with. And they can see both the King James and whatever their favorite new version is. That's one of the things that opened my eyes.
Yeah.
You can see the difference.
Yeah.
And then you pray for them, and once you see that they're open to more information, then you can show them more, and they'll come along. But it can be other things. Eternal security.
Yeah.
There's some people, it takes a while for them to grasp they're saved. You know, they're not on probation. There's all kinds of, you can do that with pretty much anything. And one of the best pieces of advice I got years ago was from my first pastor down in Wheelersburg, Brad Brandt, who said, the ministry, this is before I even knew I was going to go into ministry. He said, the ministry is taking people from where they are and getting them to where they ought to be.
Correct.
And that never happens overnight. That's a process.
Yes.
And if you can keep that in mind, every one of us are ministers.
Yes.
And when we deal with people, we have to find out where they are. And then start to bring them along, and it's going to take time. But
mm-hmm.
Your goal is to get them where they ought to be.
Yeah, one of the first. Yeah, Doug.
First John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world."
Yeah.
A lot of these people will try to get you to stumble on something, you know, like you were talking about the meats, or they'll try to stump you on the tongues, or, you know, take you away from what is necessary.
Yeah, we had a big fight at the other place we was at over the word slave. And they actually barred me from fellowship because I didn't want to believe that we're slaves. Guys, I have a King James Bible here. They had a King James Bible, and they wanted to believe in slaves. Every time the word servant came up, they changed it to slave. Something wrong there, guys. It says servant. It's not slave. Johnny.
And of course, then the verse you found where Jesus says, "I call you not servants, but friends."
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
And they totally avoided that one.
And to whom the Son has made a slave, he is a slave indeed.
You're not reading that through. So.
Yeah. I told them, well, how about in the South? I said, how would you preach that in the South? And they said, we wouldn't preach it that way.
Preach.
How about that? Jenny, go ahead.
I was just going to reiterate, you know, teaching in general is a process. Like with my students, I had one student who came in pretty much knowing nothing. After a year and a half, I was finally able to get him to where he's recognizing that the S's on the ends of words mean things. He can recognize some nouns and do some reading.
Right.
It's taken a year and a half. We had to start with him, like, just figuring out, oh, there's, like, one set of sounds for this word. This is a word. This is a word. This is a word. You know, and then this letter makes this sound. This letter makes that sound.
Right.
But it does take a long time. You got to be patient.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite words that I like is, it takes a long time to grow an old friend.
There's that, too.
Takes a long time to grow an old friend. You just don't meet someone and you're an old friend. Because you don't know. I've known Jill for
a while.
Quite a long ways.
Wow.
A third? More than a third of a century, okay? Let's put it that way.
Johnny, how old are you?
30.
Oh, yeah. I've known Johnny for about a third of a century.
Wow.
How about that? But it takes a long time. And we all have the same form of thinking, but yet we're still free to think at the same time. But we discuss everything under the sun, everything. When it pops up, there are subjects I don't like us to discuss. We discuss them anyway. But we're all on the same page. We're all in the same book. We all have the same here. Let's take a look at verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. How about that? Don't let your good be evil spoken of. And what that I think that I perceive out of this is there are certain things we believe, and when we make it a hobby horse, or when we make it something strong where we are forcing everyone else to believe, our good then becomes a point of judgment. And the other person perceives that we're a judge and not a discerner. And when they perceive that we're judging, then the spirit splits in half at that point. And now we're called evil. Well, because look at what they believe in. Look what they believe in. And it destroys them, and so they will wander away because they think you're a judge. And we have to be careful not to appear as a judge, but as a discerner.
I kind of take it the other way, though, John. I think it's saying that let not then your good be evil spoken of. I mean, like, it's good to eat meat. It really is.
Yes.
But because they don't understand it, then if you flaunt it, then it becomes something that they will, it'll be evil spoken of.
Correct.
Eternal security as a doctrine has been that way with a lot of Baptists.
Yes.
Because they flaunt their liberty in front of people. Like, it's a little thing that you brought cards. And it was, when I was a kid, there was a family that was really down on Baptists, and I was around them, and I wasn't even a Christian at the time, but my friend claimed to be a Christian at that time, and his family was like that, and they didn't know my background, and or at least I don't think they did. And as they were talking about those Baptists, and what they were talking about how they just play cards like there's nothing, and to them, a deck of cards was evil.
Oh, yeah.
And so even playing 500 rummy or slapjack, it didn't matter.
You know? Oh, yeah, exactly.
But even if you were reading yesterday, Spurgeon had a thing about the theater, right?
Yes.
He just thought the theater was, he went to the theater, he weren't even.
Oh, yeah, he put it in this sordid trowel. Pastor so-and-so went to the theater, and he would name the guy.
He broke fellowship with that Joseph Parker, mm-hmm. who is the second biggest church in London. And went public with it over the theater.
Yeah.
And it's like Parker, the real problem was Parker was flaunting and actually kind of making fun of Charles Spurgeon for his view on it. And it ended up being an example of that right there.
Yeah. Yes.
Of course, I was raised at Pentecostal. And, you know, our salvation was based on outer appearance, basically. And we were Jesus only,
right.
And you couldn't be baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You had to be baptized in the name of Jesus. If you were baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you had to be baptized because you weren't saved. And that's something that I did not realize how much that had instilled in me growing up in the Pentecostal, and then coming out of Pentecostal, going to Raymond, and then coming here. And I got baptized when I was 9 years old and spoke tarry for the Holy Ghost, you know. That was the base of our salvation. You had to tarry for the Holy Ghost. Some people tarry for the Holy Ghost for years and never got it, so you weren't saved, you know. So, you know, we couldn't cut our hair, wear fingernail polish, wear pants to church. We were unsaved if you wore pants to church, you know.
Yeah.
That's men's apparel. But Jesus, they wore robes. So, I mean, but that's when you really, and I have to be honest with you, I really have started searching here in the last couple months. The Lord's just been dealing with me, you know, about my salvation. I struggled with the once saved, always saved.
I understand.
But now I got it. I got it. I mean, the Holy Ghost just gave it to me.
Amen.
And I was seeking for it. But you got to look it for yourself. And I'll be transparent. You know, I was a sparse Bible reader, you know, but since I found out that I'm saved.
Yeah.
And that you don't pack up and leave out every time you might do a sin.
Amen.
Repent, that's how I felt. Oh, I didn't do some good things, so the Holy Ghost had to pack out, and he's gone until I repent, and he's back in.
Amen.
You know, but he don't grieve, because the Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know.
Right.
He said, you are sealed until the day he comes.
Amen.
He's Ephesians able to perform
one.
That.
Yep.
And so, that's what I struggle with, but now I've got it.
Amen.
And it's just like, it's a whole new
exciting.
It is. It's just like I've been reborn again.
Amen.
You know, now that I understand it,
yeah.
I don't have to be baptized to be saved. That's just a, what is it? Is it?
Public testimony.
A public testimony.
Yeah.
But that does not save me.
Correct.
You know, I can go come up, be a dry center and come up a wet center, but that does not save you.
That's
it's
right.
Amen.
It comes from the heart.
Exactly.
It comes out of your mouth that you believe in the death, burial, resurrection, and you repent of your sin.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost and freedom. Received the Lord the other day.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm sitting there, and I said, do you feel a difference? He said, I feel a power.
Amen.
This young man is saved.
Amen.
Lord, so you know what you know, what you know. And when you know that Jesus is just not going to, the Holy Spirit is just not going to come in and out. He said, you know you're saved. And I wake up every morning, I say, Lord, I thank you for being saved.
Amen.
I know I'm saved.
Amen.
I don't have that doubt anymore. One day I'm saved, the next day I'm not. That's gone.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the spiritual growth and maturity.
Pass the offering,
exactly. I had an opportunity one time to preach in a Methodist church. And I preached eternal security. And if you know anything all about Methodist churches, they do not believe in eternal security. And here I am standing in the pulpit of this guy, and I'm preaching eternal security. Well, afterwards, people come up and actually shook my hands, and he came up to me, so I was bracing myself. And as he shook my hand, he pressed a $20 bill in my hand. In other words, thank you for doing that, because he believed the same way. You know, you just never know.
Amen.
Well, the last verse here, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, all right, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men.
Amen.
The kingdom of God here is already defined for you. What is it? Righteousness. And I'll just tell you quickly on this one here. All right. Romans 4:5. How do we get the righteousness of God? By faith. How do we serve God? By faith. Okay. Peace. How do we get the peace? That's in Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is to be separated from God, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We get peace from the Holy Spirit of God, from the Word of God. And then last of all, joy in the Holy Ghost. How do we get that joy? Romans 5:11. We get the joy from knowing that our sins, the atonement has been made for our sins. We have joy in God because our sins are forgiven. And how do we serve the Lord? By faith, through the Word of God, and through the joy of being saved.
Amen.
And that is acceptable with God and men. It's not meat and drink.
Amen.
And so, we'll close. Okay.
Jenny, I'll have you go ahead and pray for us.
Wow, okay. Lord, thank you for the great lesson today on spiritual growth, and help us, you know, to remember just remember what we learned today and to take this with us and to not just say, okay, I'm done with Sunday school and forget about it, but help us to think about it and study up on it. And in your name we pray, Lord Jesus, amen.
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 All right, I'll let her see y'all in a bit.